This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. On Wednesdays, we always remember to pray to Saint Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church. We begin with the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who is asking for prayers on this day. In fact, this past Sunday, he pleaded for an international day of prayer for peace in Ukraine. Today, January 26, as the threat rises of a Russian invasion into the Eastern European country. I want to bring in Glenn. Glenn, what is the latest? What's going on with Ukraine?
Well, as of the moment, everybody's staying on their own sides of the border for now. Ironically, Ukrainian leadership trying to downplay the threat. Some say that's just so the economy doesn't completely shut down in Ukraine. And again, we're keeping a close eye as a country on the situation, as an alliance, too. NATO is as well. As far as sanctions that have been threatened, if Russia would invade, some of those could include personal sanctions on the Vladimir Putin, including trying to inhibit his travel and some limits on his wealth in terms of what the U.S. can do and what the West can do, the U.K. in on this as well.
President Biden has said that a Russian invasion would change the world, saying it would be the largest invasion since World War II. So there's a lot of talk, a lot of prayers also.
Yeah, and as we recall, on the verge of the U.S. entering Syria in a bigger way, which ended up happening in a smaller way, but Pope Francis called for prayer there as well just a couple years ago, and what looked to be inevitable was held off there. So one can pray the same thing happen in this situation.
Absolutely. And here at Relevant Radio, we're encouraging our listeners to join us in answering the Holy Father's call for prayer throughout today for peace in Ukraine, especially this afternoon at Divine Mercy Chapel at 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. And then, of course, tonight, the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central. So prayer is powerful. We need to continue to pray for peace, Glenn.
Amen to that, John. We certainly do. Certainly do.
Absolutely. We'll check in with you next hour. Thanks so much. We begin every show always giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. As Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every day, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Galatians 2:20. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle St. Paul reminds us all that if we are united to the cross of Christ, if we have died to our former ways, especially to our sins, we are a new creation. If we live the grace of our baptism as that new creation in Christ, living out our faith in Christ, working deeds of love, then the life of Christ lives in us, and we can shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ for the world to see. The world needs Christ now more than ever before. America needs Christ as well. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. A number if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As we just mentioned here at the top of the show, Pope Francis expressed a solemn appeal for peace in Ukraine during the Angelus last Sunday. Without mentioning Russia by name, the Holy Father declared that today, January 26, is a day of prayer for peace. And again, he mentioned it again this morning at his papal audience at the Vatican. Catholic bishops in Ukraine and Poland said on Monday that rising tensions with Russia pose great danger to the whole of Europe. Fox News correspondent Greg Palcott reports on the threat of war in Ukraine.
More bad news for Ukraine. New reports say 30 trainloads of Russian troops and gear have rolled into neighboring Belarus. 60 Russian battle groups are now virtually surrounding the country, threatening invasion. That's why the U.S. sent tonight more military aid, including anti-tank missiles, for the Ukrainian forces already fighting Russian-backed rebels in eastern Ukraine.
We're working together to expedite security assistance in support of Ukraine's sovereign right to self-defense.
This, in addition to those U.S. and NATO troops, plus hardware, on standby to go to Eastern Europe as a deterrence.
These NATO response force troops that we're talking about, if it's activated, are not about training. It's about credible combat power for the alliance.
But the U.S. is not taking any chances. Fox News has learned 200 American diplomats and family will evacuate in the coming week, along with some other country's citizens. With 20,000 U.S. expats reportedly living in Ukraine as well, the word from the embassy today was an urgent get out. Still, Ukrainian President Zelensky went on TV tonight trying to tamp down fears, telling Ukrainians they should not be worried.
The fact that some of the countries withdrew part of their diplomatic staff doesn't necessarily mean an imminent invasion.
In fact, though, the Ukrainian Defense Ministry says it's setting up terrorist defense brigades in all regions of the country, ready to deploy in the event of a full-on attack. Longtime observers here now think Russia could invade with a purpose.
I think the aim is to sow panic and to split the country into those who will be then ready, out of desperation, to reach accommodation with Russia and to say, look, the West is not going to help us.
And now joining us for a spiritual perspective on the crisis in Ukraine is Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. It's also the shrine of the new martyrs of Ukraine. Father Kuzma is a Ukrainian Catholic priest of the St. Nicholas Diocese for Ukrainians. He was born in Canada and moved to the U.S. in 1978. His parents moved from Ukraine after the Second World War. He's been a priest for 40 plus years, and he learned Ukrainian as his first language. Good morning, Father Kuzma. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a blessing to have you on the show.
Good morning, John, and thank you for inviting me. I want to thank you for all that you're doing to get the word out for everyone to pray today, especially for Ukraine peace in Ukraine, and peace actually for all of Europe and the world, because the situation, as you know, is very dire, a very dangerous situation. A little spark eastern Ukraine or from Belarus or from Crimea can start a war that can just expand and grow throughout all of the Western world.
Absolutely. Father Kuzma, what is your reaction to the Holy Father, Pope Francis, call for this International Day of Prayer for Peace for Ukraine? Talk to us what this means for you as someone of Ukrainian descent.
Well, first of all, I think we are extremely grateful to the Holy Father for his support, for his prayers, for his help throughout the last few years for humanitarian support and so forth. There are Ukrainian churches throughout the world. All of our dioceses have called for prayer. Our parishes are open basically all day long. We are praying and also asking people to even fast, so that the Mother of God might protect the Ukraine, as she has in the past, from aggression, from forces that are not certainly in favor of peace. The Holy Father is a great friend of peace. This is the great message that our Holy Father John Paul II was expressing throughout the world. It's the message basically the Mother of God in Medjugorje asked him to spread throughout the world. Peace, 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 nothing but peace. And obviously we need this so very much today. So today is not only a day of prayer for Ukraine. I think it's a day of prayer for the entire world, for peace to somehow be maintained, for the Mother of God to intervene and find a solution, an amicable solution to all sides.
Father Kuzma, what's been the reaction from your parishioners at Immaculate Conception, a Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church there in Palatine? I'm sure many of them have relatives and family members back in Ukraine as well.
You know, many of our people, in fact, visit Ukraine regularly because they do, in fact, have families there. They are in close contact with them through radio, television, through obviously through telephone, Zoom, and so forth. And they are maybe a little bit more receptive to the situation because they're used to living in such situations since 2014. As you probably know very well, Ukraine has been invaded and occupied in Crimea, eastern Ukraine, and so forth. And as our President Zelensky in Ukraine is asking the people to stay calm, there's not much you can do when a giant is approaching. So our people are praying and fasting and trying to stay as calm as they can. But obviously, they're very concerned and worried.
Father, can you explain to us your perspective on how you see the situation right now with Ukraine and this possible invasion of Russia?
Well, I have great hope and trust to the Mother of God. The Ukrainian nation, as probably you know, in 1037 was the first nation in the world that was consecrated to the Mother of God under the Grand Prince back then, Yaroslav the Wise. In Ukraine, if you study the history of Ukraine, we've always, or for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, been invaded or occupied or governed by foreign nations, and we depend extremely on the Mother of God's protection and her intercession, her aid. And this is my great hope that this day of prayer and fasting will find somehow, heaven will find a way of preventing this tremendous war that can begin.
There's a lot of issues in play in terms of religious liberty, free press, public debate for this sovereign state of Ukraine. Do you feel like it's continuing to be being punished by Russia with this invasion that began back in 2014 and has led to many, many deaths, over 14,000 people that have died and many, many children included?
Well, yes, you know, we are used to the fact that Russia will always spread misinformation, and they're never going to be a nation that allows us to exist freely. As you know, President Putin clearly has made it known that he believes, and many Russians believe, that Ukraine is part of Russia. They'll do everything possible to get Ukraine back under their sphere of influence. And the only thing we can do is hope for the best, pray more than anything else, and fast, and hope the West helps us when necessary. And obviously, we need their help as much as possible now, NATO, the United States, and all people of goodwill.
There are some within the Ukrainian community who are saying that in many ways this is kind of like a modern-day Herod situation, this threat to Ukraine that is existing right now, this thirst for power by Russia that is in many ways trying to regain some of the luster that they had as the Soviet Union.
Well, certainly we can look at it that way. There's no question about it. You know, those who desire power more than anything else are not seeking the truth. They're obviously very dangerous people, and hopefully we can find a way of standing up to them in a godly way and doing everything possible to maintain freedom. But Mr. Putin, as you probably know very well, is a man who has his ideas set. It seems very clear that he wants Ukraine under his sphere of influence, or at least to have a president that is pro-Russian in Kyiv.
Father, the bishops of Ukraine and Poland have been praying for peace along with the Holy Father. Do you have any idea what the reaction has been of the Orthodox bishops in Russia? How do you think they feel about this possible escalation of violence by Putin?
Well, I can tell you this. The bishops in Ukraine, Orthodox and Catholic, work together with regard to maintaining the freedom of Ukraine, praying and fasting and working with all people of goodwill who might support that freedom. But with regard to the church, Russian Orthodox Church, I can't honestly tell you what their position is. In the past, as you know, they very often side with the government of Russia.
Well, they too have a devotion to the Theotokos, to the Mother of God. So again, it's a reminder that we need to all continue to pray as an international community, as the Holy Father is asking us to do to avert this possible invasion. Can you talk a little bit about the humanitarian crisis that has developed in Ukraine as a result of these years of war going back 7 years?
There are tremendous needs in Ukraine, especially in eastern Ukraine, but throughout Ukraine. There are people who basically lack water even, food, medicine, clothing. Many of our parishes and Ukrainian organizations throughout the world are constantly gathering these kinds of products, sending them to Ukraine, to our soldiers, and to all people who are in need.
Father Kuzma, can you lead us in a short prayer and invoke the Mother of God, the Theotokos, to pray for us, to pray for peace?
Yes. Lord Jesus, first of all, we turn to you, Almighty God, and we pray for the Most Holy Mother of God to cover Ukraine and all of Europe with her mantle protection, that she, along with all the saints, might intercede so that peace can be maintained at some level. We pray for our enemies to be enlightened by the truth and seek godly resolutions to the various difficulties that exist there. Most Holy Mother of God, we pray, please help us to maintain peace in Europe and in Ukraine. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Holy Spirit.
Father Mihailo Kuzma, thank you so much for being with us to give us a real spiritual perspective to this crisis, this very difficult situation that's going on in your country, in Ukraine.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for all that you do again and that Relevant Radio does to spread the word of Christ to all people of goodwill throughout the world. God bless you and today, all the days of your life.
Thank you so much. Father Mihailo Kuzma, pastor of Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, will have much more on the situation in Ukraine and the latest news from the Holy Father from the Vatican. So stay with us. We'll have much more here on Morning Air after a short timeout.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Down each avenue, via street or strada, you can see them disappearing two by two.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of Saints Timothy and Titus. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now it's time to bring Rome to home as we do every single Wednesday at this time for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband John founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Great to be with you once again from Roma.
Well, thank you, John. Buongiorno to you. And it's always great to come to you from Rome with a little bit of Dino introducing us this morning and put you in the mood.
Absolutely. Just for you, Ashley. Ashley, the Holy Father continues to preach about St. Joseph. We're no longer in the year of St. Joseph, but he's mm-hmm. still talking about the importance of St. Joseph, something that we always remember here on this show, to go to Joseph on Wednesdays. What was the main focus focus of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning.
Sure, that's right, to go to Joseph. And today, the Holy Father focused on the dreams of Saint Joseph that are spoken about in Scripture and how important those dreams were in the discernment of Saint Joseph to understand his mission. So today, the Pope called Saint Joseph a dreamer who was able to discern God's voice and to act upon it. And the Pope noted that in the Bible, dreams were considered a means by which God revealed himself and which God spoke to people. However, the Pope also warned that it's easy to have other voices out there that are distracting, for example, of the voice of fear or the voice of the evil one who wants to deceive and confuse. So the Pope said it's necessary to cultivate discernment, and it's discernment that allows a person to authentically recognize the voice of God amongst all of those competing voices. So today, Pope Francis reflected on each of the four dreams of Saint Joseph that we hear about in the Gospels, beginning with the appearance of the angel in a dream to Joseph, who then helped him determine what to do when he learned of Mary's pregnancy. And the Pope said that, like Joseph, life often puts people in situations they don't understand, situations that don't seem to have a solution. But the key is to pray in those moments and allow the Lord to show the right course of action. And praying in these times also gives courage, like is seen in with Joseph's second dream, when he's warned that the life of the child Jesus is in danger. And once again, Joseph obeys God's voice. He flees with Jesus and Mary to Egypt. And then in the third dream, he learned that those who sought the life of Jesus had died. And in the fourth dream, he understood that he was meant to settle in Nazareth. So the Pope said that these examples show how uncertainty is indeed a part of life, but how critical it is to pray about any uncertainties in life, because God will guide one through uncertain times, just like he did Joseph. So today, the Pope asked for prayer from the faithful, but especially for those who no longer hope, who no longer pray. He pointed specifically to parents who are facing difficulties with their children. And he said to parents who have any kind of difficulties, which is basically every parent, he said not to be frightened. He said, to think about how Saint Joseph himself solved the problems he faced and to ask for his help. And then, as he's been doing throughout this entire catechesis on Saint Joseph, John, Pope Francis ended in prayer today, which we can pray together now.
Absolutely.
Let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Saint Joseph, man who dreams, teach us to recover the spiritual life as the inner place where God manifests himself and saves us. Remove from us the thought that praying is useless. Help each one of us to correspond to what the Lord shows us. May our reasoning be illuminated by the light of the Spirit, our hearts encouraged by his strength, and our fears saved by his mercy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. When I think of the Holy Father and Saint Joseph, I can't help but think of that beautiful statue of Saint Joseph sleeping that the Holy Father has talked about in the past, where he writes his prayer petition on a little piece of paper and sticks it under the statue so that Saint Joseph can sleep on it. Very much connected to this morning's message.
Yes. Well, it's just a reminder, as you said, to go to Joseph. That is what Scripture has called us to do. And we are so blessed to have a man of all men to be able to guide and direct us and to remember today, as Pope Francis told us, that prayer is connected to charity and to love of neighbor. And so it's not only a beautiful gift, it's a responsibility we have to those around us.
And today, the Holy Father once again has reminded us about the importance of this International Day of Prayer for Peace in Ukraine that he called last Sunday during the Angelus, and once again talked about at the end of the audience today. Can you talk about what the mood was, his message? Because this obviously is a very important issue. We just spoke to a Byzantine Catholic priest here from the Chicago area who gave a heartfelt message to please continue to invoke the Mother of God for peace in this very dangerous situation in Ukraine.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The mood was very somber today, as the Pope reminded all that today has been called as an International Day of Prayer for Peace, specifically with the Pope expressing his concern over the increasing tensions that are threatening peace and security in Ukraine and in the rest of Europe. And so, sure enough, at the conclusion, as you mentioned, of the audience today, Pope Francis asked the faithful to pray, especially for peace in Ukraine throughout this entire day. Now, he prayed that world leaders would work toward peace, despite the fact that these political tensions are indeed rising between Russia and Ukraine. And he prayed that all of the prayers from throughout the world today, from Christians and people of goodwill, that these prayers would touch the minds and the hearts of all world leaders so that dialogue can prevail and the common good will be placed ahead of partisan interests. And the Pope asked the Lord to grant that the country may grow in the spirit of brotherhood and that all hurts and fears and divisions would be overcome, and to remember that it is the prayers of all of the faithful throughout the world, of the sons and daughters of the one Father, that makes everyone brothers and sisters, and that together, those prayers rise up in pleading for reconciliation and for concord. And also, the nuncio of the Vatican to Ukraine mentioned that since 2014, which was the year that the conflict began, the Greek Catholic churches and also the Latin Rite Catholic churches in the Ukraine during all liturgies have been praying for peace specifically. And so the nuncio went on to say how very important today is to have this these prayers that are being lifted up that will not only, of course, be lifted to God himself, but will also, for all those who are praying, it will lift hearts. It also expresses a closeness and a solidarity of brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. And he mentioned as well just how good this feeling of not being forgotten is for the people of Ukraine, John.
And here at Relevant Radio, we are reminding our listeners to unite ourselves in prayer specifically for peace in Ukraine, particularly this afternoon during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, during the Drew Mariani Show in the 3 o'clock hour, the Hour of Mercy, and then tonight with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary across America. We know that prayer is powerful, so we need to continue to follow the Holy Father's lead, Ashley.
Exactly. And I can't help think, too, of Christ's words reminding us that some of these things require both prayer and fasting, and the power that we have through the sacrifices that we make to also create very, very powerful prayers that will touch the ears of the Lord.
Coming up later this week, we're going to be celebrating the feast of the great theologian and doctor of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas. How is this feast celebrated in Roma?
Well, you know, John, it's interesting because since St. Thomas Aquinas is entombed in Toulouse, France, at the Church of the Jacobins there, not many people remember about his life in Italy, even though, of course, he is Italian. And he lived at one point right here in Bella Roma. He lived at the Church of Santa Sabina. Now, many visitors to Rome may remember this beautiful Church of Santa Sabina, which is, it's very near to the Circus Maximus. It's high on the Aventine Hill. And it was completed all the way back in 432 AD. So one of the oldest extant basilicas that we have here. And many people go especially to visit this church because of the wooden carved doors. These are 5th century doors that actually have a cycle of Christian scenes. It's some of the earliest to survive. So indeed, St. Thomas Aquinas lived there at Santa Sabina at one point, and you can go in and make a special appointment, which we have done, to see the interior cells of that Dominican convent that are there, because of course he was indeed of the order of preachers of the Dominicans. And there inside you can see the cell of Saint Dominic himself, and although it's been converted to a chapel now, but You can also visit the original dining room and imagine that this is the very one in which St. Thomas Aquinas would have dined when he lived in Rome. So this is a very important place that on his feast day, folks from throughout Rome will go and visit. Now, it's really interesting because we celebrate his feast day, as you mentioned, John, on the 28th of January. But it's not actually the date of his death. He died on the 7th of March in 1274. And in the church, usually we celebrate a saint's feast day on their death day as well. But in this case, it was a little bit different because after he was made a saint in 1323, his remains were later translated from where he died. Now, he died not far from Rome in a place called Fossa Nova. And the remains were translated then to Toulouse on the 28th of January. So on this day in 1369. So we're actually celebrating the Feast of the Translation. And the reason is because typically March 7th, the date of his death, falls in Lent. And so his feast, because he's such an important saint in the church, his feast would be superseded by Lent. They didn't want that to happen. So today is the Feast of the Translation of his remains. So there in Fossa Nova, in the Cistercian Abbey, where he died, there's also special celebrations that are happening. Now, he was actually on his way to the Second Council of Lyon. He was riding a donkey along the Appian Way when he struck his head on the branch of a tree and became unwell, stopped at the Abbey of Monte Cassino to convalesce for a while, continued on the journey, and stopped in Fossa Nova to continue to try to get well, and it was there that he died. And those are the two special places where people are going to be visiting on the 28th of January to remember the great St. Thomas Aquinas, John.
Great insights that only you, Ashley, could bring to the show. Real quickly, our final minute, what's going on in Italy in terms of coffee? I understand that coffee is being considered to be part of Italy's heritage.
Yes, you know what? It's more than just a simple drink around here. Italians have made a formal bid to have coffee inserted on the UNESCO World Heritage Intangible Cultural Heritage List. So this is very exciting because the Italians say that it's an integral ritual of the country. It's part of their national identity. It's the way they express their socialness, and it distinguished Italians in the whole world. You'll see it even in Italian literature. So what has happened is that this formal bid has now been made to UNESCO. They're also hoping that coffee culture returns strong soon because the restrictions of the Super Green Pass, especially the COVID-19 restrictions, have very much dampened coffee culture around here. So we'll know a little later in the year if this bid from Italy has been accepted by the National UNESCO Committee to make coffee part of Italy's intangible cultural heritage.
Ashley, have a cappuccino for me today.
Well, I most certainly will, with pleasure.
Thanks so much, as always, for bringing Rome to home to our listeners. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, prego. My pleasure. God bless.
Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can always listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Marge Fenelon, an award-winning author and Catholic media personality, will join us to talk about her book, My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena, A Marian Pilgrimage Across America. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for being with us this morning, this Wednesday morning. As we experienced the year of St. Joseph last year in 2021, this year we're doing something very special here at Relevant Radio by spending a year celebrating Our Lady with miracles, mysteries, and Mary. We're exploring Mary's intercession in human history and in our lives every day. Grow in faith, knowledge, and devotion through these lessons from Our Lady. Miracles, mysteries, and Mary, it's totally free. All you have to do to receive receive this email series and gain access to exclusive content is sign up. You can do it today at relevantradio.com/Mary. That's relevantradio.com/Mary. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Perhaps you may have dreamt of visiting all the places in the world where Marian apparitions have taken place. I've been blessed to be able to go to Lourdes and Fatima. I have yet to make it to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. But with all the COVID restrictions over the last few years, foreign travel might be a little bit difficult at this time. But what about going on a pilgrimage to Marian shrines across the United States? Our next guest, Marge Stein Fenelon, did exactly that. She's joining us to tell us about her experiences that are contained in her book called My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena, A Marian Pilgrimage Across America. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a Catholic media personality. Good morning, Marge. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you this morning.
Good morning, John. It is great to be here, and especially if I get to talk about our Blessed Mother. That cannot be beat. So very, very happy. And, you know, this is the first time I get a chance in person to congratulate you as a host of Morning Air. I haven't had a chance to actually... with voice. So
thank you, Marge. I was going to say, what did I do?
Well, I know it's been a little bit of a delay, but we personally haven't spoken, so I wanted to take that chance to say welcome and very happy to have you in the airwaves.
I appreciate it very much. Tell us about your book, My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena, A Marian Pilgrimage Across America. Where did the inspiration, where did the motivation for this specific book and this idea come from?
There were... Unlike a lot of authors where it's this idea where you're thinking, I need a book. This one kind of fell on me. The Blessed Mother, I think, if I could picture her in actuality, just suddenly stood before me and said, guess what you're going to be doing? which is to do this pilgrimage. There were two focus points that converged that prompted me to do the book. The first is being very Marian myself. I'm very attached to the Marian shrines of the Schoenstatt movement. So this is something I grew up with. That's a whole nother show. The shrines are throughout the world, but the one that I had visited as a child almost daily when I was in school, it had to close. And it's a long story behind why it had to close. That impacted me in ways that I don't know if I can even describe. There was so much rolled into that, and it was more than just a childhood place. It was a place that belonged to our Blessed Mother, and to have that close, it really shattered me. And so that planted that seed, and right about that time, we had the upcoming elections, so not 2020 but 2016, and those of us who are, you know, looking at the news, I'm sure that we can remember that was a very tumultuous time in our country. It was, to put it very simply, no fun. There's just a lot of anger and division, and I wanted to do something that would reconquer our country for the Blessed Mother, that would bring peace, and I really wanted Americans to fall in love with our country again, or maybe even for the first time. And so those two things, this idea of this Marian shrine closing, and this there's got to be more out there, and what, you know, on and on. I mean, how do we prevent this, and so on and so forth. And then this idea of our country really needs healing.
No question about it. And, you know, I imagine that many, many brothers and sisters, many Catholics across the country do not really realize that our country is consecrated to the Immaculate Conception. Our Blessed Mother, under that title, she is the patron of the United States under the title of the Immaculate Conception.
Yep, exactly. And the other thing about this journey was that even I discovered places I didn't know existed. I had no idea. The hardest part of writing this book, John, was figuring out which pilgrimage sites not to include, because there are so many. And we
that are not approved. Some of them are not approved, I imagine.
Correct. Right. And that's why I'm very careful to say pilgrimage places, because it could be something as simple as for example, now this is not in the book, but not too many miles from my home, is this old grotto in the backyard, so to speak, of this very old parish. And obviously it has been there for, could be more than 100 years. Who knew? They're everywhere. And it's, you know, our Blessed Mother before the country was founded, has been leaving her trail for us to follow. And I decided with this book that I needed to follow that trail.
And Marge, how did you decide, with so many choices, to settle on those nine shrines across our country? As I'm looking at the names of the different shrines and the locations, I realize I've only been to two of them, Our Lady of La Leche while on vacation in St. Augustine, Florida, and of course the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help up in Champion, Wisconsin, just minutes away from Relevant Radio original headquarters.
Yes, and you know, that makes me really excited to know that you haven't heard of some of those, because that's the whole point of the book. The whole point. But how did I choose, finally, after driving my editor crazy? There were some criteria. One was it had to have, obviously, an attachment to our Blessed Mother. Whatever this place would be that I would visit, there had to be, the Blessed Mother had to be attached to it somehow. The other criteria was that it had to have some historical value. So it had to have played a part in our country's our history, and then Catholic heritage. So I looked at the historical value of each of these places, and then finally, I wanted to spread it out. So there was some choosing according to geographical location, because I literally did do coast to coast, east to west, and almost, I didn't quite make it up to Canada that far, but Wisconsin's not too far away. So north to south. And I spread them out so that to give people this image. And I even had a map as I was doing the book, doing the journeys, so that people could see where I was going, because I wanted to strike that image in their minds. It's, well, that's not that far from my home, or, you know, so on. So that was what it was. Those were the main criteria.
Well, you picked a very historical place in Our Lady of La Leche in St. Augustine, Florida, where I believe the first Catholic Mass was said right there on the beach at that location. Tell us about your experiences there and a couple of other places.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Our Lady of La Leche was fantastic. There were things that when I went there, now when I did these journeys, I purposely didn't do much research, only enough to figure out why that place is important, because I wanted to approach it as the pilgrim would, someone who'd never been there before. So my knowledge was basic. When I went there, the depth of the history and the things that I learned once I was there was incredible. Yet to stand on the shore where the very first Catholic Mass ever in the United States was said, it practically dropped me to my knees.
It's pretty amazing. That is, it's awe-inspiring when you think about it, that's where it all began. Our country has such a deep history, but especially connected to our Blessed Mother at that particular shrine and so many of the other ones that you traveled across the country to see.
Yes, and you know the other thing that was I found, just a side note of Our Lady of Leyte, that was the place of the very first Thanksgiving of America. So you know, people are like, wait, I bet they're looking it up on their phones right now. But all right, so we're taught that it was 1621, it was the Pilgrims, it was the Mayflower, and so no, actually there was a Thanksgiving with the Native Americans and the explorers who came and landed there at Our Lady of La Leche in 1565. It was the same kind of setup. You've got these people coming to this land, and they don't know much about the place, and the Native Americans there were very friendly and very kind, and they fed them in a big way. So they had this feast. So that's kind of in looking at the historical value of these places, I ran across those kinds of little stories.
What about the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin? Can you briefly tell us what that was like?
Absolutely. Everyone who has been there, I believe, has used this exact same word, and I would bet you that this comes to your mind as well, John. Peace.
Absolutely. A beautiful, beautiful, peaceful place.
Unbelievable. It's this place that is becoming more and more popular. And every time I go up there, because it's only a couple hours north of me, every time I go, it's like it's still as peaceful as it was when I first started coming here in 2010. Even though they're building it up for the pilgrims, it's just the most peaceful place, honestly, I think I have ever been. And it's got to be the presence. Well, we know it's not got to be, but it is. It's the presence of our Blessed Mother.
Marge, less than a minute to go. Just final thoughts, your hopes for this book, My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena, Marian Pilgrimage Across America.
What I hope for every reader is to awaken this idea that there are Marian pilgrimage places all over the place. Could be my very backyard. Open up your eyes, find out, go visit them, explore. That is the main thing. Fall in love with our Blessed Mother again, or more deeply in love with her, fall in love with our country. That is really my hope for this book.
Great hope. So much appreciate you being on with us, Marge. All the best. Your book is available on Amazon. Again, My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena, A Marian Pilgrimage Across America. Thank you so much, Marge Stanghedge Fenelon, for being with us.
You are very welcome. Have a wonderful day, John.
Many blessings to you. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Turning the Other Cheek. Julio Diaz has a daily routine. Every night, the 31-year-old social worker ends his hour-long subway commute to the Bronx one stop early just so he can eat at his favorite diner. One night last month, as Diaz stepped off the number 6 train onto a nearly empty platform, his evening took an unexpected turn. He was walking toward the stairs when a teenage boy approached him and pulled out a knife. "He wants my money, so I just gave him my wallet and I told him, 'Here you go,' says Diaz." As the teen began to walk away, Diaz said, "Hey, wait a minute. You forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm." The would-be robber looked at his would-be victim, like, "What's going on here?" said Diaz. He asked me, "Why are you doing this?" Diaz said, "You know, if you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, I guess you must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was get dinner, and if you really want to join me, hey, you're more than welcome." "You know, I felt," said Diaz, "that maybe he just really needed the help." Diaz says then that he and the teen went into the diner and sat in a booth. "The manager comes by, the dishwashers come by, the waiters come by to say hi," says Diaz. The kid was like, "You know everybody here. Do you own this place?" "No, I just eat here a lot," Diaz told the teen. He says, "But but you're even nicer to the dishwasher. Diaz replied, well, haven't you been taught that you should be nice to everybody? Yeah, said the team, but I didn't think people actually behaved that way. Diaz then asked him what he wanted out of life. He just had a sad face, says Diaz. The team couldn't answer, or he didn't want to. When the bill arrived, Diaz told the team, look, I guess you're going to have to pay for this bill because you have my money and I can't pay for this. So if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you. The team didn't even think about it and returned the wallet. Diaz says, I gave him $20. I figure maybe it'll help him. I don't know. Diaz asked for something in return, the teen's knife, and he gave it to me. Afterwards, when Diaz told his mother what had happened, she said, you're the type of kid, if someone asked you for the time, you'd give them your watch. And Diaz said, I figure, you know, if you treat people right, you can only hope they treat you right. It's as simple as it gets in this complicated world. From Matthew 5, Jesus said to his disciples, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who's evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for two. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, will join us to talk about the memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus that we're celebrating today and the importance of friendship in evangelization. And Professor Harry Kramer will be with us to explain why making your bed first thing in the morning is an important part of the morning routine and a great way to start your day. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air. Next hour, don't miss it. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.